But we get the hour underway by hopping on board the telephone and welcoming in Sean McAdam of MassLive.com. Good afternoon, Sean.
Rich, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How about yourself?
Good, thank you.
Well, a nice weekend for the Red Sox, taking 2 out of 3 from the Cubs. Good to see them winning at Fenway Park. And again, it's I would say, no longer such a small sample size. We're month into the season here, and the Red Sox continue to play a little better than expected.
Yeah, it's probably important not to get too ahead of ourselves here, but I think when you look at the number of injuries they have stared down here in the first month of the season, that to finish the month with a winning record, which they're now assured of doing, is something of an accomplishment. They certainly have been dealt a number of setbacks when you think about losing arguably your best starting pitcher for the season, even before the year began, followed shortly by, you know, one of your 2 or 3 best everyday players in Trevor Story, now to be without Tristan Casas for a couple of months, to say nothing of the shorter-term pitching injuries they've endured. It certainly could have been a lot worse.
Well, let's start with some of the positives here, and it was another solid outing from Tanner Houck last night. He certainly seems to have turned a corner. How much of this is improvement on his part, and how much is the philosophy of Andrew Bailey?
Yeah, I think there's probably I think there's probably a little bit of both there, Rich. You know, Alex Cora often cites the fact that last year, before Houck got hit in the face with that comebacker, which cost him a couple of months, that he thought he was getting ready to turn the corner then. So maybe this was going to eventually happen with a full off season to get ready, but he certainly is pitching better than he ever has. The slider has an even more dramatic break. I think the splitter has been an effective pitch for him. In terms of philosophy, it's pretty obvious that Andrew Bailey, with a few notable exceptions, is downplaying the four-seamer as part of all his starting pitchers' repertoires and emphasizing trying to win by using the secondary stuff in the zone more. And we're seeing not only Houck respond to that, but also Cutter Crawford. And before he got hurt, Garrett Whitlock, all three of them pitching very well. So certainly some credit to Bailey, but Houck as well.
Nick Pivetta looking toward a rehab start maybe later this week. Realistically, how long before he's back in the rotation?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they get out of him. There's talk of him going on Thursday and maybe going 4 or 5 innings. I mean, you know, he's missed 3 weeks. If he can give them 55, 60 pitches on Thursday, I would think that would be good enough. And then, you know, they can expect to up that output by 15 or 20 pitches the next time he takes the mound. And I would expect that they'd be comfortable with him doing that for the parent club. If he's ready to go 80 or 85 pitches, might as well be doing that at the major league level rather than at AAA.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. The Red Sox made a move over the weekend to try and plug some of that hole at first base with Tristan Casas out and Bobby Dalbec continuing to flounder. What do we know about Garrett Cooper, the guy they got from the Cubs?
Well, I don't think he's going to be a huge impact guy. I think he's an upgrade over Dalbec, who has given them almost nothing offensively until the last couple of days, a few better at bats. Ironically, Dalbec, who has struggled in the field last year too, has shown great improvement over there and also has been pretty good at third on the few occasions they've used him there. So he's helping them defensively, but not much offensively. Cooper will obviously get his bat on the ball more, fewer strikeouts. He does not even though he's essentially now a first baseman and first baseman only, he's played some outfield in the past, but really this is about first base here. And he doesn't profile as your typical corner or infielder in terms of offense and what to expect. He's not a big slugger, not going to hit a ton of home runs. I think his career high is maybe 17 or so in a season. So more of a line drive guy, but puts the bat on the ball and can give you competitive at-bats, which, as I noted, is more than they're getting out of Dalbec.
And were you at all surprised that they chose to designate Pablo Reyes for assignment?
I was, if only because there were other options that could go out. You know, Reyes was out of options, and so they couldn't just send him to Worcester and not expose him to waivers. They could have done that with both and Manuel Valdez and David Hamilton, and yet chose to keep both of them. Reyes has had a tough start of it. You know, I thought he filled the role of a utility infielder pretty well last year. That's been less the case this year. He's been shaky defensively at both short and third, made some critical errors. But I thought, again, usually when you're trying to figure out what a team is going to do, the path that allows them to control the most number of players is the one they chose, and yet they went against that today by DFAing Reyes and holding on to guys who had options remaining. I'm going to guess it had something to do with wanting to have a left-handed infielder around, so maybe that's why Reyes found himself as the odd man out, but it is a little curious in my mind.
The last time we talked with you, you were saying you thought the best solution for their infield challenges would be to put Rafaela at short. They have since taken your advice and done that, and he's looked pretty good there, and it doesn't appear they've suffered much in the outfield.
They may have shifted Rafaela to the infield, but I think we can eliminate the taking my advice part of it. You'd be surprised at how little they consult with me on this kind of stuff, Rich. But on this occasion, I was right, and it has been a pretty successful transition. There's little doubt that Rafaela is a better center fielder than is Jaron Duran, but I think Duran continues to get a little better out there. His breaks and reads have been better on balls. And to me, as long as he can be league average out there and not hurt them, it's more important to have somebody who can convert routine ground balls at short into outs than it is to have someone with the spectacular range that Rafaela can give them in the outfield. They can live with Duran in the outfield. They could not live with guys continuing to boot routine ground balls at short. And Rafaela has eliminated that issue.
Well, and it's also given more playing time to Willier Abreu, who I think has looked very good, both with the bat and defensively. He had a terrific catch in the right field corner yesterday, and he looks like a guy is continuing to make progress.
Yeah, he's played an excellent right field. There have been a half dozen, there's been some sloppiness, including in the very first series in Seattle. He bobbled the ball. I think the 1-0 loss that they had early in the season that contributed to that defeat. But he's been well above average, I think, defensively. Showed decent range in right field. We all know how much of a challenge right field in Fenway can be. A lot of ground to cover, some nooks and crannies out there in terms of balls caroming off the fence. But he's played well. He's got a plus arm. And credit to Alex Cora for kind of staying with him after what was a disappointing spring training and then a worse start to the season. I think, a week and a half, 2 weeks in, the strikeouts were piling up. He wasn't contributing. And yet Cora found a way to get him some playing time on some platoon matchups until he kind of broke out of it a little bit. Now that patience has been rewarded.
And finally, Sean, how long before we see Vaughn Grissom make his Red Sox debut?
Well, I suspect that could be as soon as tomorrow. He had a good day, I think a 3-for-3 day with Worcester yesterday. He's had some at-bats. You know, he really didn't have much of a spring training with first the hamstring and then the groin pull that cost him a lot of time, but he's caught up with some reps at AAA, and if it's not Tuesday, then it could be almost any day, and certainly before they start that road trip on Friday.
Sean McAdam, MassLive.com with us on Downtown. Sean, great talking with you. As always, appreciate you giving up some time on the off day today, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Sounds good, Rich. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Sean McAdam with us here on Downtown, 14 minutes after the hour.